Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Whenever and wherever you're listening to this podcast, you are very welcome. Welcome to Rugby News, the podcast about our town, our people. The very last podcast before Christmas. We'll kick off, as we like to do, with a roundup of local news, that's news local to rugby, with the help of the excellent local newspapers Rugby Observer and the Rugby Advertiser. In this week's show, podcast number 7, released on Friday the 20th of December, I'll share with you the local news from around Rugby Town, including the wonderful and generous things people are doing for those who really, really could do with help in our community in rugby, a little bit of football, and an even smaller bit about cricket. And then, in my weekly deep dive feature, I talk to Amy Johnson, theatre manager and programmer at the Macready Theatre, about the ambitions of Rugby School and her team to bring professional theatre experiences to Rugby Town. Quality. All about quality. A fascinating chat. And so, without further ado, here's our news. Now, the wonderful Rugby Advertiser ran a story which I hope you approve of. It holds all those important values that keep a community together, happy and thriving. And it's those values that I support and try to highlight in this podcast when and where they are so apparent in what many people are doing here in our town to build community, to enhance the profile of the town, to make us proud of rugby, our town, our people. They are the values of openness, collaboration and celebration of what is important, positive and good. The article was about a magical Christmas experience that was enjoyed by 50 asylum seeker families when they were invited to join the audience of a festive stage show in Rugby. A spokesman for the hotel where the families are living said the majority of these people had never been to the theatre before, so the experience was truly incredible for them. At our hotel, we focus not only on providing accommodation, but also on supporting our guests' mental health and encouraging quality time as a family. We believe this is incredibly important, and the chance to take these families out of the hotel and share such a memorable experience means so much to all of us. That sounds such a good, positive thing. The Advertiser has released the following statement on Facebook, and I quote, "It is a sad world we live in when we have to remove a post about asylum seekers going to the theatre in Rugby. While I know many have valid views on immigration, this was not meant to be a contentious story in any way. What was just as sad is that many accused us of doing it for clicks, i.e. clickbait, to stoke up racism. We're not naive, and we know how Facebook works, but that was not our intention. And to prove it, we've removed the post from Facebook. We also wanted to let people know as they might have missed our replies on the post, and now they've all gone. We will remember to turn off the comments next time. Merry Christmas to you all. And let's make 2025 a less divisive year." I haven't seen the comments myself and personally don't want to, but for a newspaper, publishing a heartwarming story of open-hearted generosity, of welcome, compassion and empathy for the needs of fellow human beings, to pull the post because of the comments to that post, and to feel they have to turn off the comments the next time, that's such a sorry state of affairs. There must have been some horrible stuff there. Stuff that the authors should be ashamed of. Surely, we're better than this, Rugby. Surely. We remember Storm Bert, I assume. Silly name for something so dangerous. A storm has gravitas, heft, aggressive intentions, spreading fear and terror all before it as it strides across the land, ripping and crashing and feeding deep thoughts of fear and loathing. Bert is, well, it's too reasonable. Anyway, there was Bert. Not sure what came before that. Was it Ashley? I think it was. I have to say I never heard anything about Storm Ashley. His or her day in the sun, as it were, and no one's talking about you. Forgotten, before you were even born. How sad. Sad, Ashley. After Bert came, apparently, Connell. Now that means, in the Irish derivation, rule of the wolf, high, mighty. Now that's more like it, I'll take that. But I didn't hear anything about Connell either. Another sad Ashley, I guess. And then, of course, we had Dara last week. Notice that storm. Irish name, black oak or oak tree. Also wealthy. There's power there. And boy, did we feel it. Anyway, the new story I'm trying to get to was that as we all hid, sheltering from it all, there was no hiding place for the emergency services in Warwickshire during the weekend of Storm Dara. Warwickshire Fire and Rescue responded to over 300 calls as roads were left unpassable due to fallen trees and flooding, and damaged buildings needed to be secured. Along with the highways team, they worked tirelessly over the weekend to clear roads and remove fallen debris and trees to ensure that roads remained passable and safe. Chief Fire Officer Ben Brooke said, and Ben means son of my right hand. Google tells me it's a strong yet charming name. Hello, Ben. Anyway, Ben says, in addition to storm-related incidents, our crews also responded to several road traffic collisions, water rescues, airlift rescues, and chimney fires. Our crews also went above and beyond to look out for the most vulnerable by fixing patio doors during a welfare check, which had been blown off by the storm, and in another incident, helping an elderly couple clear up their home, which had been damaged by water. It's the small things, said Ben, like this, that can really make a difference to our communities, and I'm really proud of everyone involved in keeping Warwickshire communities safe over the weekend. Well, bravo, men and women of the fire and rescue teams and highway teams. Thank you from all of us, whatever we're called. Bravo also to the Rotarians across Rugby, who are supporting the 2024 Rotary Toy Box Christmas appeal to bring festive cheer for children who have had to flee from domestic violence across the UK this year. Rugby Rotary and Rugby Dunsmore Rotary Clubs are aiming to help fill boxes with over £80 worth of new toys, which will be distributed to more than 580 children at six refuges in the area. Rotarian Bill Elliott, who's run the appeal for the last 4 years, said, "This year, in the UK, over 5,600 children will be residing with their single parent in a domestic violence refuge. Many initially arriving at the refuge with only what they can carry and having witnessed or experienced physical, emotional and even sexual abuse." Just stop a second and think about that, my friend. 5,600 children. Bill goes on, "Having been forced to leave home at a moment's notice, they're fleeing from domestic violence, moving over 30 miles or more from their friends, staying in a strange place, not knowing what tomorrow will bring. By necessity, the location of these refuges need to remain secret, which often means that these single-parent families, and especially the children, are often forgotten or remain anonymous." I just can't imagine how any of that would feel. Power to your elbow, you Rotarians in Rugby, supporting the 2024 Rotary Toy Box Christmas appeal. Such good people out there. And if you, dear listener, want to donate or support them in any way, send an email to billmeg29, that's B-I-L-L-M-E-G 29, at hotmail.co.uk. My heavens, more big-hearted people here. The charity Evelyn's Gift and other community and voluntary groups preparing more than 230 hampers to bring some festive joy to care leavers and asylum seekers across the county. Now, a care leaver is someone who's been in the care of local authority for a period of 13 weeks or more, spanning their 16th birthday. It was 25 years ago that Norma Wilson, a former foster carer with support from the Warwickshire Children and Families Services, started preparing hampers within the Warwickshire County Council's rugby children's team. And the project has grown to become a much cherished tradition. Each hamper includes essentials such as socks, gloves, food and toothbrushes, as well as festive treats and a handwritten card signed Love from Norma and People Who Care. Norma draws on her years of experience as a foster carer and understands the challenges faced by young people who are learning to live independently, and her hampers are a vital reminder that they are not alone. Christmas is a time for giving, she said, and even the smallest gesture can mean the world to someone in need. Oh, there you go again. Some lovely people out there doing some wonderful things in our rugby community, giving support to at least some of those who need it most. The Light Fantastic, last weekend. Rugbians lit up the town centre with colourful lanterns which had been made at a series of free workshops at St Andrew's Church. It was last Saturday, the 14th December, when hundreds joined the festive lantern parade around the town before returning to the church for hot chocolate and some traditional Christmas carols. And Linda Lowne from Rugby First said, if you've enjoyed this event, why not join us on Sunday, January the 26th, in the town centre as we celebrate Chinese New Year with some music, lion and dragon dancing, craft activities and a lantern procession. Well, if the pictures I've seen on Facebook of the lantern procession are anything to go by, that was some wonderful event, visually stunning and again, a great community thing. I'll see you at the January 26th Chinese New Year event. Apparently, there's more information at rugbyfirst.org. A bit of sport now, and Rugby Town Football Club has parted company with their long-time manager Carl Adams by mutual consent following a 4-0 defeat away last Saturday. It follows on from a dramatic slump in results, leaving Valley 20th in the Northern Premier League Midlands table, 5 points from safety in the relegation zone. The club say it would like to place on record its thanks to Carl for his commitment and efforts during his 6.5 years at Butlin Road. They say, we made plans in the summer to make a significant improvement on last season's performance, and that has not materialised. To last over 6 years in any level of football is a testament to Carl's dedication, but all parties feel the time is right to move on. Player coach Liam Francis will take charge of the club on an interim basis, and we wish him well as rugby play their next game away against Darlaston Town on Saturday, December the 21st, with kick-off at 3 p.m. Meanwhile, Rugby Borough, on the other side of town, have kept themselves firmly in title contention with a 2-1 home victory against GNG Oadby Town. Intriguingly, one of the two goals was scored by David Kolodinski, a familiar name to Rugby Town fans. Up until 3 or 4 months ago, David, the mighty Kolodinski, was a crucial part of the Rugby Town team, associated with the scoring of many wonderful match-winning goals for Rugby Town. Oh, how life just moves on. Rugby Borough now sit third in the United Counties League Premier Division South table, 1 point behind joint leaders, but with a game in hand. Well, best of luck to both teams in avoiding relegation on the one hand and getting promotion on the other. Now, if cricket is more your cup of tea, the great news for us here in rugby is that Warwickshire County Cricket Club will be returning to the Close at Rugby School for 3 matches in 2025. They held 3 trial games last season and clearly we passed the test. There is to be a rugby cricket festival next summer featuring 3 50-over games as the Bears pursue their one-day cup campaign. The fixtures include games against Northamptonshire Steelbacks on August the 10th, Kent Spitfires on August the 13th, and against Middlesex on August the 15th. Warwickshire Performance Director Gavin Larson said, "Rugby school were the perfect hosts last summer. The facilities and ground were top quality and thousands of fans attended the three games. It was a great atmosphere, a real community occasion, and they got to see some thrilling cricket. It made complete sense for us to return, and I'm sure it'll be another huge success. Now, I'm definitely going to try and get to see one of those matches." You are listening to the Rugby News Podcast, where I draw together all the biggest stories from the last week from Rugby Town and all around so that you can hear them at your convenience for free every Friday and with no distracting ads, all in about 20 minutes or so. You can listen while you're walking the dog, driving to work, or finishing off the ironing. If you like what you hear, be sure and subscribe to Rugby News, all one word, on your usual podcast station. And tell your friends. Do tell your friends. If you like it, they'll like it too. Spread the word. Do spread the word. Thank you. That was the pre-Christmas week of local Rugby Town news, and I'm indebted to the excellent local papers The Rugby Observer and The Rugby Advertiser for all their help. Now, for more detail on each story and more stories as they happen, go to their websites or follow them on their Facebook pages. Now, every week in the Rugby News podcast, I take my trusty mic and I visit interesting places and chat with interesting people from around the town. People who are making a positive difference, adding to the uniqueness of this extraordinary place. This week, I went along the Hillmorton Road to investigate an intriguing building. Drive down the Hillmorton Road into Rugby Town, and you'll pass an extraordinary, exuberant wedding cake of a building at the junction with Barbie Road, opposite the equally stunning Temple Speech Rooms. It was built in 1885, designed by the renowned architect William Butterfield, famous for his distinctive use of polychrome brickwork, walls of red brick with distinctive blue brick patterns, and here with added bands of delicious Portland stone. But what, I hear you wonder, goes on here now? What is its story? Well, intrigued by these questions myself, I found out that it is in fact a very modern 250-seat theatre. It's part of Rugby School, but it's very much open to the general public, us. Under the direction of the school's artistic director, Dr. Tim Coker, they are really pushing ahead with fresh ideas, reaching out to the Rugby Town community with a widening range of cultural experiences and beginning to make a real impact. I managed to record an interview with Amy Johnson, the theatre manager and programmer, and she told me,
"The theatre is originally called Big School, and it was built as one big hall with a massive organ in it, which now resides over in the Temple Speech Room. And in 1975, it was turned into a theatre for the school to use for their theatre students. So actually 50 years next year, we've been a theatre, which is very exciting. But it wasn't until 2017 that we became a public receiving house for professional theatre."
So, professional theatre groups are received here at the Macready and perform in that brilliant auditorium within this gorgeous building to paying audiences of up to 250. So you and I, dear listener, can buy tickets to see travelling professional groups right here in Rugby Town.
Yep, so we've got our most ambitious programme next year for 2025. So January to June, the programme's already been released and it's featuring our busiest period that we've ever done. Lots of new work from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So when I went up in August, I was able to go and see a lot of the sellout shows and really excitingly bring them here into Rugby, which is exciting. We're also launching a few new things next year. So we've got a new live music programme coming in where we're bringing in two baroque groups. So we've got Red Priest and also Graffiti Classics. They'll both be fantastic shows. And we've also launched National Theatre Live screenings for next year. So our first one is in January, which is Nye.
So that's comedy, dance, drama, music and the National Theatre here on our doorstep. Amy explained how there is an energy for growth in the place, reaching out to more of us to be attracted into the Macready.
I think when I originally took on the role in 2022, the target audience was very much family-based. And since then, I've been putting my passion, which is new writing, into the programme a little bit more and trying to create a bigger market. And our artistic director, Tim, wanted a lot more music in there because we do our pizza and jazz nights so well.
So you've been here just 2 years then, am I right?
Yes, 2 years in November.
And it's changed significantly from a family-oriented to a much broader palette of offers.
That was my plan, definitely, to try and grow it. I suppose when I was brought in, I was challenged with growing numbers. How are we going to get more footfall through the door? And how do we get more people in rugby to know about us? And if you're only targeting one specific audience, you're only ever going to reach that same audience. So it was looking at what do we already do really well, so the family shows, the Manford's comedy, doubling those so we could have even more in our program, but then adding other aspects to the program so that we could invite new audiences in. And it started slow, but now our audience numbers are growing, so it's really exciting to see that growth and that change.
Amy wants audiences of all ages to enjoy live theatre and is launching a brand new initiative to enable younger kids who might feel that cost is a barrier.
We've also launched a new initiative for 2025, which is called Kids for Free, where you, the general public, the audience, can go on, buy yourselves a ticket, but also pay it forward for a child to come and see live theatre who otherwise wouldn't be able to.
So as you buy your ticket, you can add £5 donation to subsidise a seat for a child. Who are these children?
Our priority is to put that initiative out to all state schools. So anybody who goes into a state school has that opportunity, because at rugby school you get that opportunity. But we'd also like to offer that out to local state schools. And I'm also trying to reach out to a lot of home learning communities as well. So if you're a parent teaching your child from home, we also want to reach you and give you that same subsidised or free ticket offer.
So what's behind this initiative?
It's to make sure that our future generations don't forget about the arts. That, for me, is the big important goal, is to make sure that all of our future generations have access to the arts. And by allowing them to have free tickets or subsidised rates, we can almost guarantee that the arts will be in their future. Even if we send in a class of 30 and only one kid from that class is going, wow, I want to be on stage, or wow, I want to design costumes or set or do the lighting, that's more important.
That sounds great. So when the audience do get into the theatre space, what do they find?
You walk in, because it's on the second floor, so you have to walk up some stairs to get into their auditorium. And once you're in there, you do look around and go, wow, it doesn't look like it would house this theatre space. And the beautiful thing about our theatre is that all of the seats are raked upwards, so the stage is actually below you. So you can see the stage and you get a really good view from anywhere in the house, as opposed to having stage restrictions or pillars and posts in your way. So with regards to our technical capabilities, last year we appointed a new technical manager, Mark Watts, who has worked on the West End for the last 20 years, and he's fabulous. And we also have Kyle Arrowsmith, who's worked for the school for the last 8 years, who's also a brilliant technician. And we have a pool of casual technicians from a variety of backgrounds as well. And they all pull together and create these amazing shows and these amazing experiences. A recent example would be the Nutcracker, which we had in last weekend, and they didn't have a lighting designer or a technical designer, so we were able to use Mark to design the whole thing in accordance to what we have here in stock. Whereas if we look forward to the Three Little Pigs, I know, for example, they've asked for 15 lanterns of a certain style. We've not had them, so we do have to hire equipment in as well to make sure that these shows work.
Nothing's going to beat you.
Nothing's going to beat us. We will get the job done.
Good. Well, you'd say that opening up this lovely theatre to rugby public since 2017 has been a good thing then.
Yeah, so I think a benefit of us opening up to the public is we've had people like In the Round Theatre come in and present their National Theatre Connection shows. And now two members of In the Round Theatre have been accepted onto scholarships with the rugby school. So it can actually be a really great recruitment tool for the rugby school having this theatre here, because you're bringing in audiences that are passionate about the theatre, and rugby school offers scholarships within performing arts and theatre. So those two things go hand in hand.
That's a wonderful story. What an opportunity those two will have thanks to this place. So how do you see rugby in the near future, and what is holding the town back?
So I moved to rugby 2 years ago for this job, and I moved from Bicester near Oxford and love the place so much that I'm looking forward to staying here long term, not just because of the job, but I just think the people here are great. The networking that's involved in this role is amazing, and the enthusiasm that Rugby First and the Rugby Town Council have about putting rugby on the map for the right reasons, I think are very inspiring. And things like that make you want to stay in a town. What's hard to see is every business shopfront has posters for Royal Spa Leamington or the Warwickshire Arts Centre or other theatres that are trying to encourage rugby town people to leave to go and get these cultural experiences, when you have Macready Theatre, Rugby Theatre and Ben Hall on your doorstep alongside other venues that also offer entertainment such as CV22. You don't need to get a train or drive very far to go and see some culture. So yeah, look to your town first and enjoy what we are putting on for you. And we all work really hard together. Myself, Jane at Ben Hall and Wendy at Rugby Theatre meet often to look through our programming together to make sure we're not stepping on each other's toes, but to make sure that the cultural offering at rugby is sufficient and exciting. Ben Hall, we are mostly famous for their tribute bands and, of course, five-star entertainment. Rugby Theatre look after all of the amateur performances that are so amazing and so professional. Recently seen The Christmas Carol and thought it was brilliant. And Macready Theatre bring in all of the smaller scale but professional productions coming from London, coming from Edinburgh, and also international shows as well. All of the venues offer something different.
Truly a fine range of culture is right here on our doorsteps in rugby. I like that line, look to your town first. In a word then, Amy, what is the Macready Theatre all about and what does it stand for?
We offer, as Macready Theatre, quality work. So you know that when you're buying a ticket, you're always going to see something of quality. You'll always get quality at Macready Theatre.
Quality. Well, at the top of the interview, I asked what happens here and what's its story. It's a quality professional theatre venue that's positively buzzing with energy and a clear vision of what it wants to provide for us in rugby. It's working with the other culture providers across the town, coordinating their distinct offers to give us, the local rugby people here where we live, some incredible theatrical experiences. So, go online, find the Macready website, delve into their packed and varied programme, select tickets to enjoy the professional performance space, pop a fiver in the pot to fund a kid for free, and add to the feeling that I'm discovering in these podcasts week by week that here in our rugby town, there are some energetic, connected and visionary people really making a difference. As Amy said, look to your town first. It really has so much to offer. Okay, I've been Simon of Rugby News, here with Amy Johnson at the Macready Theatre. I'll be back soon. Goodbye. Okay, we've pretty much reached the end of this podcast, and thank you so much for staying with it. I publish it once a week, every Friday morning, so if you click follow next to Rugby News, or one word, on any of the podcast platforms, you should get a notification when a new one drops, so make sure you do follow. As well as the news of Rugby's week, I always have a deep dive, an interview with someone in the local community who's making or trying to make a positive difference, trying to build our community, to enhance the profile of the town, to make us proud of rugby, our town, our people. So if you think of anyone that fits the bill, let me know, please. Email simon.rugby.news@gmail.com. I hope you liked what you heard, found it useful, and you want more. And if you did, others will too. So share the news and spread the word by sharing the Facebook posts and telling your friends about Rugby News, all one word. Any ideas to make it better, of course, let me know. After all, it is your town, your people. Reach me on email simon.rugby.news@gmail.com. OK, I've been Simon, on a break now for the festive season, back on January the 10th. Until then, I send you the season's best wishes. Goodbye.